It's almost gone. We're in the middle of May. Boy, does time go. Time goes very fast when you get older there. Psalm 119 will begin in Psalm 119. We'll look in verse 170. 170. Psalm 119, verse 170. And it says, in Psalm 119, 170, it says, "Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word." Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray as we do our study tonight and how you deliver us according to thy word. I just pray that you bless your word, bless our time here, help us to learn something through the power of the Holy Spirit tonight, Lord. I just thank you again for having your word, the good old King James Bible. I thank you for people like Gretchen who will take a stand on the word and say, you know, that we don't only use it here, Father, but we believe every jot and tittle of the King James Bible is God's preserved word without any error or contradiction, Father. Just thank you for folks that are willing to take that stand for your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. This evening we're going to look at how God delivers his people. How God delivers his people is the name of our message. How does God deliver his people? In our verse this evening we see the psalmist praying for deliverance. And I believe the key expression is found in the expression that he says in Psalm 119 verse 170, "Deliver me according to thy word." This means according to the promises of God. That's how he delivers us. And many times we fail to receive deliverance simply because we want the Lord to do it our way. We end up fretting, fuming, fussing, and remaining in a state of bondage or captivity when we could have deliverance if we had only listened to the word of the Lord and obeyed its precepts. Let us notice the importance of this statement, "according unto thy word," as noted by the psalmist. We're going to just stick in Psalm 119 for a little bit. Let's look at verse 28. Psalm 119, verse 28. It says, "My soul melteth for heaviness." My soul melteth for heaviness. Sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we have a heaviness of the soul. But the psalmist says, "Strengthen thou me." How? "According unto thy word." That's how we are to ask, like the psalmist asked, for strength, according to the word of God. Look at verse 41, he says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Look at verse 58. "I entreat thy favor with my whole heart." Be merciful. How? "Unto me according to thy word." Look at verse 65. "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word." Look at verse 76. "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word, unto thy servant, according unto thy word." Look at verse 107. 107. "I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word." Look at verse 116. "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope." Uphold me according, it says, unto thy word. Look at verse 154. "Plead my case and deliver me." How? "Quicken me according to thy word." And then verse 169, it says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word." So God is promising deliverance according to his word, according to his promises. That's how he delivers, according to thy word. We can certainly see by the truths in these passages of Scripture the importance of the word of the Lord. Someone may say that they believe that deliverance comes through faith, and that's true. But I remind you that true, genuine faith cannot be exemplified until the word of God is present. Romans 10, verse 17 tells us, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's why we have to send missionaries out, so people can hear the word of God, so they can receive the Lord, so they can have faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What we want to look at tonight is, let's notice some areas in our lives where deliverance is needed. Number one, All of us, we need deliverance from the guilt and penalty of sin. We need deliverance from the guilt and penalty of sin. The Word of God, as we know, informs all of us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we're all sinners. We are further informed by Scriptures that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In view of this, we can readily see the dire need of all human beings to be delivered. So what do? Where are we to go? Where do we turn for help? The psalmist said emphatically that we are delivered according unto the word. So the wise individual who truly desires deliverance will turn to see what the Lord says for us to do. That's why that young man today in my office needed to be delivered from the guilt and the penalty of sin. And where did I turn to? Did I turn to, the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, or Mary Ellen White, or Judge Russell of the Jehovah's Witnesses, or some other Roman Catholic teachings? No, I knew that this man had to be delivered according to the Word of God, and that's where I took him, to the Word of God. That's where we were able. That's where he was able to be delivered, so he could hear the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Praise God, and he believed the promises of God and the Scriptures that he could be saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Luke, we looked at that this morning in Luke 18 about the publican and the sinner. Let's just look at it again. Luke 18, and beginning in verse 9, it says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." So this guy's telling God how great he is, basically. This guy's not telling God that he's a sinner. He's going on and on how great he is. You know, how great he is and wonderful. Look at the contrast with the publican. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's what you and I did when we got saved. That's basically what you and I did. We said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what that young man did this morning. He admitted before God, before anything else, I said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you realize that you're a sinner? That's step number one. He said, oh, I know I am. I know that I'm a sinner. I've sinned every day of my life. Praise God. He recognized that. That's the first step in getting saved. We're told in verse 14 of Luke 18, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We are given here an example that presents to us God's way of deliverance from the guilt and penalty of sin. The Pharisee and the publican had gone up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee, the Bible states that the Pharisee prayed with himself. A careful study of his prayer reflects to us an individual who was conceited and one that did not recognize his need. He didn't recognize that he was a sinner, that the wages of sin is death, that he was on his way to hell. He was not saved, the Bible tells us. He was not justified. The publican, on the other hand, recognized that he was a sinner, amen, repented of his sins, and pled for the mercy of the Lord. That's what you and I have to do. That's what we did when we got saved. We recognized that we were sinners. We saw the penalty for our sins, and then we pleaded mercy to God. Have mercy on us. I don't want to go to hell. You know, Jesus saved me. And we're told that the man went down to his house justified, which means he was saved and delivered from the guilt and penalty of sin. The reason he was saved was because he came and called according to the word of the Lord. See, there are many people today that think they're saved. But how were they saved? They were told by some man. Not by the word of God. They're not saved according to the word of God. They're saved by what some other man told them. You know, you were baptized as an infant. Or you had an outpouring, you had the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. You know, you spoke in tongues, or you, You know, like we saw that video last week. You know, that's where that young man had been through the vineyard. He mentioned that he had been through the ministries of the vineyards. That's the vineyard that we saw with those people. You know, like not with the holy laughter, but the one before. Remember where they were falling out and wiggling on the ground and talking and shaking and moving, man. That's the sad part. See, people believe that they're being saved, but they're not, because they're not being saved according to the Word of God. That's how we get deliverance, according to the Word of God. Some verses which substantiated these truths are as follows. We know, it says, that for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then Titus tells us, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Paul tells us in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. That's why God created the law, to show us that we're sinners and we can't keep the law, that we need Jesus Christ to save us, you know. So we see then that we're delivered from the guilt and penalty of sin according to the Word of God and nothing else. That's why I kept stressing with these two young men, it's only Jesus Christ. Plus or minus nothing. They heard that in the preaching in the morning. According to the Word of God, we're saved by grace through faith. You know? And let's never forget that, how we're delivered. So we need deliverance from the guilt and penalty of sin, number one. We need deliverance from the power of evil in our lives. The tremendous struggle between the flesh and the spirit is recorded in Romans 7. You know, that's when we get into Romans 7 and Paul says, I do this and I do that and I can't do this. And, you know, you get all mixed up all with all the eyes. But that's the conflict in Romans 7 of what Paul talks about is that conflict, that struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Your flesh doesn't want to be here tonight. My flesh doesn't want to be here tonight. The spirit does, amen. Praise God, the spirit is overpowering and is power over the flesh. So we're here tonight, praise God. See, the problem that many possess is this. After they save, they're trying to bring about this deliverance by self-effort instead of submitting to and relying upon the Savior. In other words, they're trying to do it in the flesh. You know, I know sometimes, and you know sometimes, when you witness in the flesh, it's a disaster. Or when I know that I've preached in the flesh and I haven't really had the Holy Spirit, He's in me, but I haven't preached in the Spirit, I know it's disastrous. But that's what we try to do sometimes. We try to do things in the flesh and instead of in the Spirit. We try to still hold on to that control because we've been used to doing that. Over in Colossians chapter 2 of Colossians, in verse number 6, it says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. So walk ye in him. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In other words, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, okay, you've trusted him, you've received him for eternal life, hey, that's great, but you're also to walk as he walked, you know? And he never walked in the flesh, he always walked in the Spirit, and that's how we're to walk. The impact of all of this is that we are to intake the Bible truths and apply these truths to our lives. We are to do what we do and refrain from doing those things according to the Word of the Lord. You know, like Gretchen shared with us. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything, the woman said to her at the church, you know, about dancing, you know, doesn't keep you from going to heaven or any. No, it doesn't. But the Bible says to come out from the unclean thing, to be separate from the world. You know? And if you think about it, yeah, David danced. He did a holy dance unto the Lord, and there were women in the Bible that danced, praise God, to the Lord. But if you see the wicked dance was when Moses went up into the mount, that's when you saw males and females dancing together, and they were doing, you know, they were half naked and taking their clothes out and having a great old time. You know, that's the dancing and the, you know, the mixed dancing going on in the Bible, amen. You know, hey, I guess if we wanted to break out and do a holy dance, a praise God, you know, I guess that would be all right. David did it. But what I'm saying is, you know, dancing is in the flesh for the most part. It's showing off your body and so forth and wiggling and jiggling and doing all kinds of things and getting the opposite sex stimulated and so forth and so on. But it's according to the Word of God. It's not something we're making up to be legalistic or anything. In all of our experiences, we are to recognize the insufficiency of ourselves to accomplish these things, but recognize the sufficiency of our Lord to give us victory over the power of evil in our lives. That's the only way we're going to get a victory over sin in our lives is through the Holy Spirit of God. You can't do it by self-effort. That's what AA will do. AA will say, you can do it. You can do it. You know, you can do it. You can do it. All these, the bookstores are full of all these self-help books that you can do it. You know, Inner Tennis, Look Out for Number One, and all this other malarkey. All these other lies, the lies of the devil. See, what God wants us to do is rely upon Him for the strength. We can't do it. We can't do it. We need Him to gain a victory over the evil in our lives, the sin in our lives. One should realize that victory comes because we have simply obeyed the word of the Lord. In other words, you open up your Bible and you read it, you see what God wants you to do, you apply it to your life, and you'll gain victory. Victory does not come because we are more brilliant or have greater power than someone else or that we are better than they are. That's not true. The only reason we're able to get a victory is because of the power of God in our lives, because of the Word of God, taking the Word of God and applying it to our lives to gain victory. We don't have anything secret. This book is given to everyone. Every man, woman, and child can have a King James Bible. There's no copyright upon it, praise God, like all the other Bible perversions. It's free. People want to know how to get deliverance according to the Word of God. It's right here in the English language to be understood, amen. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew. Praise God. If we had to know Greek and Hebrew to understand the Word of God, we'd be in a heap of trouble. We really would be, if you think about it. If we had to go and depend upon a Bible scholar, so-called Bible scholar, to tell us. And that's why that's what they want you to do. They want you to make them your final authority instead of the Word of God. And they'll say, well, you know, you really need to know the real meaning of it, what it said in the Greek or what it said in the Hebrew. I have the Word of God right here in the English language. Praise God. According to the Word, O Lord, we have deliverance. Romans 6:14, Paul tells us, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law anymore. You're not under the law, but under grace. So what he's saying is, we have deliverance according to the Word. The Word of God. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Okay? Because you know what? No longer under the law, you're under grace. And then Paul says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. Praise God, you and I have the victory. We have the triumph tonight in Christ Jesus. And He makes manifest His knowledge by us in every place. We have the Word of God. We have what He wants us to know and understand. So we see we need deliverance from the power of evil in our lives. We also need deliverance from sudden temptation. You know, it's not a sin to be tempted. God allows us to be tempted. He allows temptation in our lives to strengthen us for Him, for His service. Because it's not a sin to be tempted, because all men are tempted. Even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan. We saw that great example of that. We saw after that Jesus was baptized, He began His ministry. Boom, number one, He's led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And the reason He was led was to be tempted of the devil. In Matthew chapter 4. And as we read through verses 1 through 11, I won't read them for you tonight, but we know the account where He was tempted by Satan. That He was tempted by Satan. You know, it becomes a sin when you yield to the temptation. Being tempted is not a sin. Jesus was tempted in all points like you and I. He suffered all temptations. But it's not a sin to be tempted. To sin when you and I yield to the temptation. Our precious Lord exemplifies to us the way of deliverance. Again, we're talking about you and I are delivered through the Word of God. And that's how He was delivered. Each time the devil came after Him, each time he tried to tempt him with something. He gave him the word of God. He says, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When Satan came and said, hey, if you're hungry, turn these stones to bread. Boom, he gave him to the word. He gave Satan the word of God. And then Satan came back to him and said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the third time when Satan came after him, Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus was delivered according to the word of God. He quoted him the word of God. He gave him the word of God. And when you are tempted, you're delivered according to the word of God. Go into scripture. You know, when Satan will whack away at you. You know? I mean, you've just made a decision in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Tell you right now, Satan's going to come back. You know that. But what you do is you give him, you're delivered according to the word of God. According to the word of God. According to the word of God, it says, come out. Come out and be separate. Amen. Praise God that we have the word of God. Jesus used the word of God to combat each temptation, and that's what you and I have to do. You know, it's no wonder that the psalmist said what he did in Psalm 119:11. Thy word, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart. The reason for that is that I might not sin against thee. That's why he took the word of God and he hid it in his heart. He memorized it. You know? I don't know if Jesus had the Bible at the time. Maybe he didn't, but he was able to quote scripture to the devil. And that's what you should. Sometimes you may not have your Bible right there to open, you know? But if you have that verse of scripture when you're being tempted and it comes to your mind and you can see, you know, hey, wait a minute. And be delivered according to the word of God, so you may not sin against him. Jesus recognized, he recognized that deliverance comes according to the word. We need to take heed to the scripture as it's recorded in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, very, very famous. Some of you probably have it memorized or underlined in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. In other words, what you're going through, what you're being tempted to, man has been tempted through all the ages. It's nothing new. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So God's faithful. You're in a situation. You're being tempted. He won't help. He won't put more on you than you can handle. He says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He's going to provide an escape hatch, okay, according to the word of God. If you're being tempted, he's going to deliver you according to the word of God. He's going to provide an escape hatch. You think about some of the great escape hatches over in the Bible. You think of Noah. Noah and his family were delivered according to the word of God. There was a great flood, a great judgment to come upon the earth. That ark was an escape hatch. They would have been destroyed. But he delivered Noah and his family according to the word of God, because Noah listened to God. If he had been like the rest of the crowd and didn't, if you remember, he was delivered according to the word of God. He didn't have the Bible, but God spoke to him. He was delivered according to the word of God. He listened to what God said. Noah, there's going to be a terrible flood and judgment. Start building that ark. And he did, even though he was laughed at and made fun of and mocked. He was delivered according to the word of God. Amen. Our problem today is not the accumulation of data of the scripture in our mind. You know that? There are a lot of people that we know that are very smart, that know the Bible, it seems, inside and out. Hey, that's great. But you know what's sad about it? But the problem isn't how much Bible we know, or how much accumulation of Bible knowledge or data in our mind that we've put in there, accumulated. But rather, what's important is the application of it to the experiences in our lives. You know, it's a different thing to have it up here, but if you can't apply it, you know what I mean? Some of you can relate to that. You know, as teachers, you know, you can go to school and they'll teach you theories about teaching. And you can have all kinds of theories and so forth and so on. I know before I got saved and what I'm doing now, I went to school for social work and they gave me courses on counseling. You know, the theories and what to do and all of this. Hey, it was great to have it up in your mind, but if you couldn't apply it to your job, forget about it. It's the same way with the Word of God. You can know what it says and have it up in your mind and know all these great things, you know. We learn about dispensations which were important and so forth and so on. But what's most important is that we can take the Word of God and apply it to our lives. That's what it's there for. It's there for us to apply to our lives. You know, and I praise God that some of you, most of you here, are all of you here tonight, praise God, are trying to apply it to your lives to help you to make decisions and choices and how to live your life. Another example of the courageous way to overcome is seen in Genesis chapter 39 of Genesis. We know the story of where Joseph is tempted by Potiphar's wife to lie with him and commit adultery. But he knew what to do according to the Word of God. He realized that to succumb to the temptation, according to the Word of God, would be sin. He said, Joseph made the statement, he said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Amen. Praise God that he said that. Then when Potiphar's wife turned up the heat and she, you know, Joseph got out of the kitchen, man. You know, when she turned up that heat, she basically grabbed him by his garment. You know, we're told, and she caught him by his garment, and then we're told that Joseph then fled and got him out. You know, he looked for that escape hatch. If all else fails, he just ran. Okay, he left his garment in her hand, and he just ran, and he left it there. But he got him out. He didn't succumb to the temptation. He was delivered according to the Word of God because he knew what he was to do with this woman. If he had did it, it was sin, it was great wickedness. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He was delivered from sudden temptation. So we see we need to be delivered from sudden temptation. You and I also, we need to be we need deliverance from gripping fear. You know, sometimes fear will grip us. You know, fear will come over us different times in our lives. But the psalmist said this in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, he said this. In Psalm 34 and verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know what? It's too bad today that people are not seeking the Lord. I sought the Lord. You know, sometimes when we're gripped with fear, we seek the help of our psychiatrist or we seek the help of medicine to get rid of that fear, you know, for fear that comes upon us. Instead of people seeking the Lord for deliverance from their fear, from their gripping fear. You know, I remember there was a time back that I was so fearful at times that I didn't even want to leave the house, you know, because of anxiety and panic attacks and fears and so forth and so on. You get real scary. You don't want to even leave the house. You're afraid to get in the car or go anywhere or so forth and so on. You know, I praise God that finally I woke up and I started to seek the Lord for deliverance. And I praise God. I sought the Lord and I can say he heard me tonight and delivered me from all my fears. And that's what I'm here to tell you, that we can be delivered from all our fears according to the word of the Lord. Our problem, I believe, comes because we want instant action or deliverance from the Lord. One needs to get to the place that he has more confidence in the Lord. You know, sometimes we ask for deliverance and he doesn't bring it right away. Going, hey, what's the deal here? You know, you said if I call upon you, you'd deliver me. Well, you know, sometimes he leaves us in the situation that he does to strengthen us. You know, if he plucked us away, you know, every time we called him, you know, every time we called him, he came and he pulled us right out of the situation, we wouldn't get strong. You know, sometimes he does that to give us patience. You know, he gives us patience. You know, the Word of God says, in Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that sometimes we think of that as material things. But he means, he says, supply all you need. Sometimes you need patience. All of us need patience sometimes. And he said he'll supply it. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the patience. Sometimes, you know, we're being gripped with fear. Sometimes we just have to place our confidence in him and know that he's going to come and deliver us. Maybe not according to our timetable, but according to his. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33 tells us, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. You know what the problem is for us Christians tonight, including myself. I don't point the finger at anybody, I'll point the finger at myself. You know, sometimes we read these beautiful words. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. And we look at them and aren't they beautiful, and it's a beautiful thought and so forth and so on. But God means this. You know, he just didn't write it down for it to be pretty and beautiful and isn't that nice. He means that. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. If you listen to God, if you hearken unto him, he promises that you will dwell safely and shall be quieted from the fear of evil. That's what he's promised. We can be delivered from the gripping fear, the gripping fears that you and I face, all kinds of fears that you and I face. You know, again, I don't feel like I keep picking on you, but your situation that you're in is a perfect situation. Going into a situation, having a little bit of fear, you know what I mean? You know, praise God. Oh, you know, I'm used to doing this, and now this is presented to me. You know, but praise God, you hearken unto the Lord, he said, and you'll dwell safely and shall be quieted from the fear of evil. From all kinds of fears that we go through. He'll deliver us if we hearken unto him, if we go after him and we say, Lord, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. I'm fearful, Lord. See, that's the problem. We try to, as Christians, as human beings, try to say, well, I get everything under control and I can handle the matter. Instead of just saying, Lord, I'm scared. I'm like a little baby. I'm afraid. You know, I'm afraid to do this or I'm afraid to do that, Lord. Show me. You know, what should I do? It can be anything. There are many situations that we all face. This faith, not in itself, but rather in the Lord, which was stirred up, that we have to have confidence in the Lord. It was, you know, hey, let's face it, David, when he went out to battle to meet Goliath, you know, that was a fear. I mean, all these warriors in Israel were afraid of Goliath. But David wasn't, because he knew before that he had been delivered according to God's word, according to God's promises. He believed, but whoso hearkened unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quieted from the fear of evil. He had seen the Lord work, had seen the word, seen the Lord deliver him beforehand in situations which were fearful that he feared. So it's faith, confidence, that God will deliver us from our gripping fear. This was the faith that filled the three Hebrew children. We remember they were cast into the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And as Daniel noted in the book of Daniel, he also was delivered from a fearful situation. So we see that we need deliverance from gripping fear. You and I also need, number five, we need deliverance from depression and loneliness. Depression and loneliness. This is so vividly illustrated in the life of Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19, we see this brought out. In 1 Kings 17 and 18, we see his faith shining as the prophets of Baal were defeated and destroyed by the power of the only one true God. We remember that great victory that he had that day, Elijah. But in 1 Kings 19, after that great victory, we see him fleeing for his life. He became dejected, alarmed, fearful, depressed, and prayed to die. Whew. Some of us do that sometimes. Things get pretty bad, you know. But the Lord came to his aid and delivered him. See what it says in 1 Kings about Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. When you get depressed and lonely and you're looking for deliverance, look at how he delivered him. And he delivered him and brought aid to him. In 1 Kings chapter 19. In verse 8 we say, and Ahab took Jezebel and all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. So Ahab went back to his wife Jezebel, and we know what kind of a woman she was, you know. She was your, you know, hate to see her move into a neighborhood and see her pull up in the welcome wagon. Here comes Jezebel welcoming you to the neighborhood. So her husband went to her and told her how Elijah had, you know, killed all the prophets of Baal. And then it says, and then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So Jezebel basically said, hey, I'm going to kill you, Elijah. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father. So after this great victory that God had wrath, God had won at destroying the prophets of Baal and so forth and so on, hey, here comes this, you know, this woman, this Jezebel, saying, okay, you think you're a big dude? You know, I'm going to kill you like you killed the prophets. Instead of realizing what God had just done, he runs. He's afraid. He's dejected. He's depressed, and he wants to die. And it says in verse 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. So we see that he was delivered. He was ministered to. God delivered him. So we need, some of us need to be delivered from depression and loneliness. We're to remember the account of Elijah. May the Lord help us all to claim the promise of what Isaiah 41:10 says. It says in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a promise. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, the reason for that, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, he promises. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. Finally tonight, we need deliverance from difficult and seemingly impossible situations. We see that in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel chapter 6, in verse 14, we remember the account in Daniel 14, Daniel 6, excuse me, in verse 14, after the men had gotten, who were jealous of Daniel, got the king to sign that, you know, if any man was to pray unto a god, that they would be cast into the lion's den. And David, and Daniel, excuse me, knew the decree was signed and went and prayed like he did anyways. And then it says in verse 14 of Daniel 6, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with him and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persia is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, which thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And we know then that David was cast into the lion's den, and they said in verse 17, a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealeth with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angels and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have no hurt, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. We need deliverance from difficult situations and seemingly impossible situations, as Daniel was. We want to notice in this section of Scripture his devotion to God. He continually relied upon God. He never turned away one odor. He didn't compromise. He didn't fear for, you know, maybe he feared for his life, but he knew God would deliver him. The difficult situation that he was in, the king loved Daniel. He didn't want to put him to death, but these men said, hey, king, you can't go back on what you just said. So we see a very difficult situation then. And then finally, the deliverance. He was delivered mightily because he believed in God. He believed according to the word of God that God would deliver him. Amen. Remember this. When we are doing what the Lord wants us to do, when we are doing now what the Lord wants us to do, then we can claim the promise of Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. He will deliver them, deliver you, if you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. We need to develop enough faith to always remember that the Lord knows what is best for you and I. This is essential to what Romans 8:28 says. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. Our biggest problem is worry. Is worrying about what others might think of us or our circumstances. Even if the Lord does not seem fit to deliver us in the way we think we should, he still delivers. Remember that. This is exemplified in the lives of Paul, Silas, and yet even Stephen. Stephen was completely delivered from all possible situations. We know after he got up and he preached in Acts chapter 7 and told the Jews what they needed to do, that he was stoned to death. So Stephen was completely delivered from all impossible situations. He was elevated and promoted to heaven's glory that day. He was delivered according to how the Lord wanted to deliver him. Conclusion tonight from all of this, I ask, what kind of bondage are you in? What kind of bondage are you in? We looked at things tonight. Praise God, if you're born again, you're saved. We've been delivered from the guilt and penalty of sin, amen, according to the word of God. Sometimes we need, all of us need deliverance from the power of evil in our lives. But we can be delivered according to the word of God. We need deliverance from sudden temptation. We're all tempted, amen. That's not a sin. We're tempted. That helps us to grow as Christians, to be tempted of things. The sin is when we give in to that temptation. But we all need deliverance from sudden temptation. We need deliverance from gripping fear, as we saw. We need deliverance from depression and loneliness. We need deliverance from difficult in seemingly impossible situations. These are all things that can bring us bondage. But we can all be delivered according to the Word of God. The thing is to remember, will you let the Lord deliver you? Will you let the Lord deliver you